Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you a hearty welcome to enjoy the weekly lesson from the Word of God. Today we'll close the series of lessons which we have had upon the Christian's hope with consideration on the important fact we have a hope that is worth guarding, permitting no one and no circumstance to take from the believer the precious and the blessed anticipation of our Savior's return and the eternal joy which we shall have when we see Him face to face, when we shall be like Him, when we shall be forever with Him. The scripture portion today is taken from the Epistle of Jude, next to the last book of the Bible. If you wish to turn to it, if you will do so, but let us seek God's blessing and guidance from above in prayer before we commence. Our blessed Father and our great God, we supplicate before Thy throne in the worthy name, through the precious blood of Thy dear Son, our Savior. We ask for the unfolding of Thy truth to our hearts today, to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Enable us to value as we should do the blessed hope of our Lord's return. This we ask for His glory and our blessing. Amen. All the Epistle of Jude could be profitably studied in view of the great doctrine of the second coming of our Savior, the second coming of Christ. But the assigned scripture we will find in verses 1 through 4, and then in verses 17 through 25. They will set before our hearts the needed exhortations why, as well as how, we should cherish and contend for the blessed hope that belongs to the Christian, that blessed return of our Savior, when He will gather His own together, and then ultimately take the kingdoms of this world and bring them under His own righteous and His glorious reign. First, we consider the purpose and the occasion this epistle was written. You will find this in verses 1 through 4. And following Jude's introduction in verses 1 and 2, we have the apostle writing in verses 3 and 4 the purpose of penning this letter. Here are the words, Beloved, giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude very evidently had upon his heart to write to the believers he knew relative to their great salvation, the gospel in other words, and the matchless story of God's love and grace. But something evidently took place in his heart and mind when the Holy Spirit constrained him to write concerning something else, and particularly to exhort the Christians to contend earnestly for the faith which once and for all had been delivered unto the saints. We raise the question, what is meant by faith? 'Tis not a creed, my friend. 'Tis not a mere confession of faith, as may be formulated by any denominational group or sect or party. But the expression, the faith, means the whole body of truth revealed in the Word of God, that permanent, irrevocable, indestructible and unchanging revelation of God's truth, both in the Old as well as in the New Testament. Now, why does Jude write in this manner? Well, the context of his epistle from verse 5 down going through verse 16 reveals that the truth of God was being corrupted, even in his day, by ungodly men who were coming into the Christian church. They knew nothing of godly living, but they were seeking to lead the believers in the Lord Jesus away from the truth of God. They were denying the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jude exhorts the believers to contend earnestly for God's word. Please notice, this body of truth is not given to the world, but delivered to the saints. And it is the body of Christ, the church, that is responsible to uphold the truth of God. My Christian friend, the words of the wise man in the book of Proverbs could be very appropriately expressed, where he exhorts, "Buy the truth and sell it not." You'll always find that the devil is ready to bid for it in order to take it away from the believers and from the saints of God. Watch him. May God help you and me to realize, though not to be in the spirit of contentiousness, yet in the meaning of the word contend, boldly stand firmly upon the truth of God and don't give an inch. One special truth in conjunction with our lesson and also as a theme found in this epistle of Jude is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I point out verses 14 and 15? 'Tis here where Jude quotes that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment," and so on. You can read it for yourself. Adam undoubtedly was living, if you take the genealogy of Adam in chapter 5 of Genesis, going down, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was alive, and so was Adam alive for 243 years while Enoch was preaching. But here was the message concerning the Lord coming, not for his saints, with his saints. May I say that the second coming of Christ is an Old Testament doctrine, not just a New Testament only. Though the second coming of Christ for his saints and the blessed rapture is uniquely a New Testament revelation, not found in the Old. But Jude emphasizes it. Then this blessed truth of his second coming is to be carefully and earnestly contended for. And in our lesson assignment, from verses 17 to the end of the chapter, the Spirit of God presents to us how we should contend for the faith, how we should be guarding and contending for our blessed hope, the expectation of our Savior to come from heaven. Please let us note carefully the words from verse 17 through 25, analyzing every step of counsel which has been given for our edification and blessing. It will enable us to stand secure and firm in our conviction and our belief and in our anticipation of the second coming of our Savior. There are 7 specific exhortations that are detailed by Jude. They will indeed, if we properly cherish them, and they will protect us in contending for the truth. Let us touch upon them briefly, but we trust we shall do it very clearly. Exhortation number 1. Please note exhortation number 1. After another warning concerning the ungodly teachers, referred to in verses 17 through 19, the first exhortation begins in verse 20, the opening words. "But ye beloved, you saints of God, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Here we have the believer exhorted to build up his and her personal life and character through the study and the ministry of the Word of God. Though we may be and we are surrounded by many evils in this world, the believer can be protected from those evils and will, if he or she will grow in the knowledge of God through his Word. May I state, we believers do not have to be occupied with thoughts which may occupy the men of this world. We have a special sphere of thought and of learning which should be our portion, so that our thoughts should be found in God himself and his word. May I encourage and exhort my fellow Christian, get into your Bible, read and study it, meditate upon it constantly, and in this way you will build up spiritually and you will build up in the truth. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the last words of exhortation when Peter wrote to the beloved believers of his day. Exhortation number 2 follows in the same verse. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, prayer is needed. But note, it is not praying for the Holy Spirit. It is not praying for another Pentecost, nor for another baptism of the Spirit. It is praying in the Spirit. The Word of God and prayer are the two most essential requirements for every Christian. They go together. My beloved fellow believer, the Word of God will teach you and me, and prayer will keep us in communion with God in the Spirit's power. It will develop an intimate relationship with God that nothing will be able to dissolve. But oh, may we be reminded, this can only be done by the Spirit of God teaching us to pray. One of the greatest needs in any church prayer meeting is to have real believers who know how to pray in the Spirit. I raise the question, I challenge my fellow believer as well as my own heart. Do we pray in the Spirit? God grant we will. This is so needful, not only in the public prayer meetings of the saints, but in our personal lives. Exhortation number 3 follows in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now this means to keep oneself in the enjoyment of God's love. We can never drift beyond nor away from God's love. We can never be separated from it. But there can be certainly some measure of enjoyment, whether little or small or great. The words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 21 will explain this. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." You may also read John 14 and verse 23, similar words. But may I note with you the words the Lord Jesus spoke in John 15 and verse 8. When he said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Now, beloved, we're all loved by him, but are we all abiding in his love? By keeping his commandments, his word. For obedience to the Lord and his word will keep us in the enjoyment of his love. Oh, may we keep ourselves in the enjoyment of the love of God. Exhortation number 4, verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now this can only mean what has been the teaching of all the preceding studies in this quarterly. We are to be looking for Christ to come, our blessed hope. And what does it involve? The believer is directed in the premise that Jude now writes, he is directed to the final fulfillment of what eternal life is going to be when the rapture takes place and we receive our glorified bodies and go into eternity. We should be expecting it. We should be waiting for it. We should be looking for it. Yes, we do have eternal life now, my fellow believer. We who believe in the Lord Jesus. But are we to be looking for that moment when in spirit and soul and body, glorified, we will be in the enjoyment of eternal life forever with no weakness of the flesh anymore to bear with. Hallelujah, what a hope this is. And what a hope it is worth looking for. And what a hope it is worth standing for. Exhortation number 5 in verse 22. On our some, writes Jude, have compassion, making a difference or a distinction. May I quote a clearer translation? It may be more helpful. And some, on one hand, be convicting when contending with you. Now there are some, please note the word some specially, not all, there are some who will contend against what we believe regarding our blessed hope, perhaps. But we are exhorted to seek to convince them when they may dispute with us. For not all people are like what we have read, what you can read regarding the apostates, of whom Jude writes in special reference in the preceding section. But we should make this distinction, that there are some we can show compassion upon, and if possible, seek to correct them with the word of God. But in verse 23, the exhortation number 6 comes. There are others we should save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now, I would like to quote verse 22 and 23 and show the contrast that we have here. We read in verse 21, some indeed on the one hand, let me point it out as clear as I can, in verse 21, or verse 22, some on the other hand, on one hand, we are to be convicting when contending with you. Now in the next verse, 23 particularly, be saving others, snatching them out of the fire, on the other hand, upon whom showing mercy in fear. Now, beloved, there are those that we must contend against when we have to. But on the other hand, Jude is telling us we've got so many unsaved people around us who are on their way to hell. We should seek to save them by pulling them out of the fire, says Jude. They need to be saved. And as a brand plucked from the burning, they need to be delivered. My beloved, do you and I realize that when we lead a sinner to Christ, this one who has been saved has been plucked out of the fire? May I suggest a very solemn fact, based upon the word of God and the truth of the second coming of Christ, and it is this, listen carefully, I say it humbly and I say it sadly, but it's true. This world of humanity has never been nearer hell than it is now in all of human history. My beloved, the coming of the Lord in judgment is very near and about to fall upon this ungodly earth. And you that have your eyes open, your ears open, and your understanding clear will see and know and understand the world is fulfilling what the prophetic scripture says. At the end of the age, it will be worse and worse. And judgment will inevitably fall. Beloved, there's a lot of people on the road to hell today. Oh, my fellow Christian, what a privilege and what a responsibility so deep God gives to you and me to seek to snatch them out of the fire. Exhortation number 7, verse 23, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, may I point out, when we seek to win lost souls to Christ, there should be a fear when we're seeking to save them, and that fear is this, of being contaminated with their sin, being identified in their sins while we are rescuing them. We are not to partake of their sins when we seek to win them to Christ, but be sure to avoid and carefully avoid getting ourselves spotted in any way like them. Oh, may I say it lovingly, I know factually there are those that go into the questionable habits of sinners for the purpose of winning their soul. Friend, that's wrong. You're putting yourself in danger. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Hate all the traces of evil that may be theirs in their practice, and do not stain your testimony for the Lord. Keep your testimony clean. Now, these are the 7 exhortations. May God enable us to keep them and do so in obedience. Our chapter concludes with a great, beautiful doxology. Verses 24 and 25. It tells us in substance that the Lord will enable and will keep his own in the evil days with which the age may close. Praise his name. A doxology of God's great keeping, enabling power to keep us from falling. Bring it in, my fellow believer, to present us faultless before the throne of God at the coming of Christ. But now, my unsaved listener, why do you not come to Christ? Do you realize the destiny that is before you if you continue in your sins and reject the Lord Jesus? Have you not known, and has not God stated it? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:10? I say very frankly, God does not desire men and women, boys and girls, to go to hell. And surely if you are unsaved, would you not like God to pull you out of the fire today? Please let me state a personal experience. When a dear fellow believer said to me years ago, "My brother, will you tell me what prompted you to take Christ as your Savior? Why did you come to Him and receive Him?" I thought very quickly of those days preceding my confession of Christ. And I very quickly answered him and said, "Brother, before I was saved, I was afraid of going to hell for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit wrought in that manner to remind me, 'John, if you never take Christ, you're on the way to hell.' And how true that was. My fear of hell may not always be so. But when I answered my friend, he said to me, 'I've asked this question of many believers. Most of them give the same answer. Not all of them. But oh, how true are the words to realize, as one has written, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun.'" My beloved friend, I beg of you to make a choice. God has given to you a free will. The choice can be yours now. God has chosen in His love and in His grace to provide you with a salvation that will give you eternal life. And He longs to save you, but He waits for you to choose Christ, heaven, or hell. Choose now, just now, for your soul is at stake. What will your answer be? 'Tis life or death, and the choice you make is made for eternity. Choose now, just now, for the Lord is here, and angels your answer wait. Choose now, just now, while the call is clear. Tomorrow may be too late. God grant, if never you have, make the choice for Christ. Guilty, lost, and helpless, turn to Him now. He waits to receive you. Open your heart. Take Him in. He's your Savior. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, may the blessed hope be cherished, be guarded, and be enjoyed and anticipated deeply by Thy people everywhere. But oh, may sinners who are on the broad road that leads to hell, many of them today, may they be saved, and many who may listen to this message, we ask for their salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus for His glory. Amen.